everyone, we're doing something different today. It's an interview. If you've listened to the podcast, you know that we love college football here, and Matt got the chance to Ben Homler, the principal game designer on EA Sports College Football 26. Here, they dive deep into Dynasty, deal breakers, manually progressing your players, and a whole lot more. But most importantly, Ben Homler talks about why CFB 26 is for the fans. It's your game first. Here it is. Check it out.
Let's start off. Can you get a brief introduction, who you are, what you do, and obviously on the game?
Yeah, of course. So Ben Homler, principal game designer on college football. Been here at EA 25 years, in a couple weeks actually. It'll be my anniversary of that. So run the gamut of things. I started in QA, then became a designer, producer, left development for a while, was in business affairs, kind of working on partnerships and licensing and all that sort of thing. Because this game went away. Like, this is the game that brought me in the industry. This is why I've always wanted to be a game maker. Growing up, playing video games and sports, like, this is always what I never knew this was an option. But I grew up here in Orlando, and I found out that they made the game here. I was at Florida State. They used to do a tournament to determine the best player in the country, and I just happened to talk to one of the guys, and like, oh, yeah, we're always looking for game testers. And so it started as a summer job. So I never left. I just turned it into a career from that. So always with a desire to work on college football. And so I had that luxury from, NCAA 05 was the first one I was able to work on. And then obviously 14 was the last one.
Right.
We go dormant for 11 years. And, man, I was just patiently waiting to figure out the time for this thing to come back and to help be here to bring it back. And so I had left development because I wanted to learn that side of the business. I also knew that when we got back into this, that's the tip of the spear. The licensing side to figure out the agreements. So I started working on that portion of it, and then the old Bear Bryant quote, right? When mama calls, you come running. So we started building this team again, and I was like, man, like, they're like, we can't build this without you. I'm like, I appreciate that. Like, I'm not going to toot my own horn. Like, there are so many talented
people. I say, you're exciting.
Team.
I don't even need to ask my question. We need to talk about you for here and all the stuff you've done.
But like, it just was one of the things I had to come back and help build this team and build it the right way. Now, that is very important to me, the unfinished business of making sure that this game came back. Because it meant so much to me, and I saw how much it meant to other people as well. So, yeah, that. Sorry, I know I rambled there for a while.
Oh, no, you're great.
That's that. Yeah.
But yeah, obviously, kind of go off of that. I mean, you talk about how much it means to you all, and kind of just been your mantra, I guess, from the launch and everything else. Team of we listen, we're listening to y'all, and everything else.
Yeah.
And I guess I want to know how was it balancing between like the community feedback versus like maybe the development goals that you all had in your own mind?
Oh, totally, and that is a balance for sure.
Yeah.
But I think what I love about this is like. It's kind of one of those things, the concentric circles, right? Like the business goals, the fan, that's almost, it's almost a flat circle. There are definitely things that hit on either end. But man, there were so many things that we wanted to do that we felt as a business we need to do for this game to make it a better game overall and to build on things that we did the first year that, we might not have gotten where we wanted them to or new experiences to add in that we wanted to have. But also, too, just listen to the fans and everything they were saying. Like, basically, I think it was so crazy. I talked to so many people today that were like, I had a list of 10 things I wanted in Dynasty, and you hit them all. Or you hit them all but one. Like, man, that makes you feel so good to know that, like, what we wanted to do lines up so well with what our fans want. And so I think that's one of the things, the most important metric that this company, this game has is engagement. How do fans feel about the game? We don't care about anything else. We care about how fans feel about the game and how much they're playing the game. So when you see guys that are playing 1,000 hours, or you see people who are going 30 years in a Dynasty, they're playing deeper and longer in this game than most other sports games. I'm like, cool, we've got something here. We've got lightning in a bottle with this. How do we keep this going? So so that's the sort of thing you think about are you have a limited amount of time, right, to make a new game. So what are the things that are going to resonate most with your fan base? And they're going to tell you what they want.
Right.
And so you make sure you hit as much of that as you can. But also, too, it's the quality of life stuff that they might not even realize. Like, the team needs, we've been talking about that a bunch today, too.
Yeah.
When you're in recruiting, you used to have to pop open that team needs big thing to be able to see all that. Now it's just right there, a little module at the top of recruiting. You can always see it, and it just makes your day-to-day so much easier. You don't have to close things out and go into another menu just to see something, just to back out and then go back and try to remember that information. Like, we're just trying to make that stuff so much easier for you, and I think our fans are really, respect that and love that because it's not big bad EA behind this curtain that just shoves out a new game every year. Like, we're out there talking to folks. Like, we are the players that are just as hardcore as those hardcore players. So it kind of works out well to have that kind of a team and that mindset that you know, it's the fans' game. It's not anybody else's. So how do we make everybody as happy as possible? Especially, too, when you have such a wide berth of 136 schools. I mean, Texas State, right?
Yes.
We shipped last year.
Yeah.
And we're missing something pretty important to Texas State
fans.
And so we came back out with, and we rectified that. We were able to do that. And that's one of the things.
And we appreciate it very much.
Of course. Oh, yeah. No, absolutely. But, like, I think about my time here. I mean, I'll be 25 years again in a couple of weeks. When I started, there were no patches. You know, that was like, we screwed that up. Sorry, we'll fix it next year. And now look at the things that we can turn around and do. So it's amazing to see all that stuff come along the way, too.
Yeah, that's awesome to hear. It's just funny because, like, 14, first year, we got Texas State. And then it disappears, and we had nothing. And now it's back, and then all of a sudden we had a mess. And I was like, oh. But then they came back and obviously said patches and everything. It was great.
Yeah.
So it was fun. Kind of break into kind of get some of these dynasty things. One of the big things that I saw today that I was excited for was the deal breakers from last year were very static in 25. They did it. So what was kind of behind not only making the deal breakers more dynamic, but the decision to give every single recruit a deal breaker?
Mm-hmm. So the deal breaker piece is very important to us as far as kind of that linchpin for a lot of what decisions happen for a recruit, right?
Correct.
They all care about one specific thing more than anything else, right? And last year, it was all the same, right? Everybody had the same, what they were looking for out of a grade. Now it's dynamic in the fact that some players are looking for a lower grade, so you might be able to get a player who cares about playing time, but he only wants the grade to be a D. He doesn't need it to be a C or a B or anything like that, but those elite players, they do need it to be higher. So you have that part of it, and that's going to help you be able to go after more players, but also, too, potentially, that can change throughout the course of his career. He might start only wanting needing a playing time of D, but he might change that over time to now be a C or whatever else. So that's going to see, dynamically going to change, and that's going to cause you to potentially lose that player to the portal if you cannot convince them to stay. So a lot of those decisions that we're making with those sort of things of the dynamic deal breakers are really for portal usage, to get more players into the portal. Because that was one thing we saw was you started out pretty hot with a lot of players in the portal, some good stuff, and then over time it got smaller and smaller and smaller. We need to hit a consistent number. And so with deal breakers kind of being that driving force of what puts a player in the portal, we had to put them on everybody to increase the number of people that are have a chance to go.
Right.
Because that was one of those kind of like, and fans found it really quick, of like, you can go to a smaller school, get players who don't have deal breakers or have deal breakers like proximity to home. That kid's never going to leave because your school's not changing locations.
Yep.
So like they could find some ways to kind of get around those systems. So this helps to kind of like, it's one of those things like with hackers, right? You're always trying to stay one step ahead. They're going to figure out what you solved for that. You try something else and they're going to figure that out. And so it's this constant game that we're playing. But I love that is that there's no one way to play this game.
Right.
There's no one way. You're not going to recruit at Texas State the same way you're going to recruit at Texas because it just, you have different abilities and different things, right? And so like it was a really important thing for us to build that out, to have those dynamic deal breakers, both like the ones that are generated, the ones that can change over time. The dev trades can change as well, and that can make a player progress faster than he previously thought he could. So you want to stick with those two-star kids maybe if you're a smaller school because they can grow into elite players. So yeah, there were so many things that we looked at of that, of how do we differentiate schools and make them all feel different, but how do we also get players into the portal? And a lot of that comes to deal breakers and how we kind of change some of those things.
And I'm assuming, because obviously we talked about like the smaller schools, the dev trade moving up, but also you kind of, we were talking about playing time kind of being this factor all around.
Yeah.
And I guess like, in regards to that, like, what exactly does that mean for, because obviously some will have, like, proximity home, but then, like, playing time is still a factor. And, like, I guess, what exactly does that mean? And kind of how do players go about, like, managing their roster, knowing that playing time is always a factor, even if it's not the main factor?
Yeah, so last year, playing time was a specific just deal breaker that either they had it or they didn't. And so if you happen to be fortunate enough to have a guy who was an elite player and, like, conference prestige was mattered the most to him, cool, I can kind of basically stash him a little bit, and he's not going to be looking to go as often. And so you were seeing, and it just doesn't match with modern college football.
No.
You're not able to just stockpile talent like you used to. Those guys are looking to go elsewhere. And so with that too, like, you look at how we kind of set a lot of those pieces up, playing time, so it still does a lot of the same pieces like last year. It still looks at depth chart.
Right.
Because there were so many exploits you could do of manipulating depth chart to say, well, you're the starter now. Oh, you're happy. but the OBR is the OBR, right?
Yeah.
And that kid knows that the other player is better than he is. So, we had that piece and that's still there. But now we added that for playing time, all blue chip players and specifically quarterbacks, even non-blue chip quarterbacks, they care about playing time.
Okay.
Even if it's not their deal breaker. If it is their deal breaker, they absolutely do. But if it's not, they still will care. And we're using an addition of kind of counting snaps as a way of telling you, are you actually using this guy? He's not just, you know, a placebo on top of the depth chart. You actually are using him. You're using him in formation subs. You're using him in all these different ways to get him on the field, and you're satisfying his need to play, even if it's not a deal breaker. And if you're not, then he's going to have a chance of going to the portal. So kind of another way of just adding more life to that portal.
And then I guess the next one, obviously CFB or NCAA, even back in the day, the progression for players and everything, it's always been automatic and just auto-progression. But now you all are given the option to do full progression. I guess, why do you all finally decide, like, you know what, players, you all can develop your own players.
Yeah, you know.
And kind of, sorry, and what was the balancing to make sure that we don't get everybody just develops 99 players right off the
bat? Yeah, so that was a really funny one in that we did it the way we did it last year because it's the way we always did it.
Right.
And that's one of those things that you can, it can be a benefit or it can be kind of a fault at times. Of like, just because you always did something one way doesn't mean you always have to keep doing it that way. So we started last year. We, you know, one of the big mantras was familiar but fresh. You know, we wanted people to come in and understand, and like, it's like an old friend coming home, right? Of Dynasty mode coming back. But we also needed to modernize things. And so we went that route of like, well, this is how we did it before. Let's just go ahead and do it this way again. But again, fan feedback. They want, there's a large segment of the fans that want to have that additional manipulation of progressing their players. 85 players is a lot.
Right.
So maybe you don't want to do them all. You can choose to do the ones you want to and then just have them auto-progress the rest. But yeah, so we gave you that. We kind of opened up that piece where you can go in now to every player if they've got skill points to be able to spend, and you can spend them on ratings or the physical abilities to upgrade those. And there's new unlock requirements for those as well to make them a little harder to get those more elite abilities. But with that, sorry, I lost my train of thought.
Balancing the player progression.
You. There you go. There we go. Oh, my man, I knew you were here.
Hey, it's late in the day, I understand.
So, yeah, so you know, you balance how much XP they get. And the rewards that provide those, you have your dynamic dev trait that give you more of them, that sort of thing. But we also know that, you know, users can min-max the game very well to figure out those nooks and crannies to get an edge on the AI that they might not use the same way. So what we have off the top is a 25% tax, that if you're doing manual recruiting, you're going to get 25% less XP than you would if it were auto done that way. That's also a slider that you can change. So you can actually increase that penalty if you want to, or you can get rid of it all the way if you want to. And that will give you a chance to go in and have that experience of being able to progress your players, or just not to if you don't want to. So you have a lot of options there. That's one of the things. It's like kind of giving people options to play the game they want to. Because, again, we're not lying. We say, this is your game. Like, you know, we're just the fortunate ones that get to make it. You know, it's our game, too, because we love to play it, too, but it's ultimately your game. So, you know, you guys are telling us what you want, and we're trying our best to fulfill those things.
Awesome. And obviously, we talked about some of these new features and improvements, but what did you all feel was the most important to make sure that when players are playing Dynasty, you know, we talked about the 30 years of, like, year 20 still feels as fresh and exciting as year, like, maybe 1 and 2?
That's a really good question. You know, because it's so funny when you think about this game of the rosters, right?
Right.
25% of your roster turns over every year just by the fact of 25% of players graduate. More than that turn over because of the transfer portal and how many guys leave that way. So you can't really pin your hopes on just like, man, I really want this player, like the relationship you're building with your player, you know, that has this long-lasting thing, because those guys are turning out, right? So it's your coach's career really is the thing that I think is the biggest part for you, because that's you the entire time. So it's how we develop that progression path for the coaches to build up their skill trees, to try to make those feel unique and feel special and not always go so wide, but try and building up into those deeper trees that really helps make that feel like it's a different experience and feel it fresh, because you're earning these different abilities each as you move on. And now that progression cap goes to 100 instead of level 50, gives you a longer reason to keep playing, to keep progressing your coach, to try out that coaching carousel, to go to those different schools. And with those new coaches, the real NIL coaches coming in, I know we use NIL for players typically, but in our heads, we think of coaches at NIL too because they're real. But yeah, adding real coaches, both head coaches and coordinators, that adds a whole new wrinkle to this game that we have never had before, in that when you see coaches moving in the carousel, you're like, oh, wow, USF coach Alex Golish is the Penn State head coach in 2033 and he won a national championship? How did that? That's so interesting. You know, like these are now things that just extend the immersion into the mode and make it feel like, wow, I'm in this college football experience in this world. So, you know, those are the things I think for us of how we try and make it, you know, the deeper years feel fresh, is like, how do we make things like the carousel, the portal, the recruiting pieces, how do we make those things feel like you're constantly chasing? There's no one way to do everything right. You know, I think you look at a lot of sports games, it's kind of formulaic. If I do this, this, and this, I get this. For us, like, we saw 50 different videos about this is how you recruit in college football. This is when you do this. So for us, it was kind of like giving players those options to play it their way too, and not just say you have to play the specific way, because we tell a story that no other sports game tells. You know, you can start as a defensive coordinator at Texas State and end up the head coach at Texas, and that's a career journey that no sports game tells. But we get the chance to do that because that is the volume of having 136 schools, you know, that play all in the FBS world, that you can have that progression piece. So yeah, there's just so much that goes into Dynasty that like makes it feel like, oh man, it's not just this rinse and repeat. And I think that's why we saw players get to 30 years so often and way more deep in those modes than others, because when you play, what's the incentive once you've won a national championship, or sorry, a Super Bowl, or you've won the Larry O'Brien trophy in NBA, that sort of thing? Like what's the incentive next after that? For us, it's just like, well, where do I go, from this school? I started UTEP, well, where do I go next? And every time is different, and not every job is going to be available to you. So, you know, those sort of things, we learned that our fans want a challenge. Yes. And so we're diving into that a lot more. And we're not afraid to make things hard, which I think is it's so refreshing.
It's exciting.
Yeah.
All right, last question.
Okay, I have one fun little last question to get out here. Yeah. You talk about licensing and doing all the fun stuff and kind of like, I know you mentioned we're changing even like redshirting for players in the playoffs. Will Bevo be available in the pregame in the playoffs if they have to go play in the Georgia Dome?
As long as Ugga's not around. Because that little dust up there. That's a really good question. I'm not sure how they handled that. I don't think we've got mascots in bowl games right now.
Okay.
That's a good presentation question. Unfortunately, you stumped me on that one.
Yeah, fair enough.
I try to be able to answer everything. You got me on that one.
Fair enough.
There we go.
Well, thank you so much.
Awesome. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you.